I had jobs so I could make money so I could help pay for school clothes. That's the way I grew up. Many would say I have a white-collar job with a blue-collar work ethic residing in me. And that's true. Greatly loved working with a community of people from Haiti at the hospital. And, oh, they knew how to work. And they got in my, they encouraged me. They would work, come into work at 7 in the morning. They would work till 3. They would leave and go and work at another hospital from 4 to midnight. And they would send money back to their families, and then they would show up at work the next day. Loved them. We all know about making money and not having enough. Sometimes we worry about that. I mean, when my son was going to Indiana Wesleyan, playing soccer there, he needed some new athletic gear, and we were over at the Nike outlet in North Bend. And he chastised me for not spending $100 on these sneakers because they were marked down from $250. I mean, he got mad at me, and I lost it. He called me cheap, and that really got under my blue-collar skin. I ungraciously pointed out, and that means my words were not Christian, just so you know, that we have a budget, and that what he was carrying in his hands for me to pay for already exceeded the budget, so I was buying cheap shoes so he could sport a Nike swoosh. We had an argument. But we understand the reality of not having the money for ourselves, for those of us that have kids, because we pay for things for our kids. We go through that. I had about a 25-year stint where I didn't even go to the dentist because we paid for the kids to go to the dentist. I mean, those realities live with us as we move into the future. Budgets, rising costs, gas prices, needing more, having less to balance the checkbook. And it is all, we all wonder about work. Mere money becomes the world on our shoulders as we have to care for students in a classroom and clean businesses and wipe preschool noses, sell homes, work at Burger King, cut hay in a depressed market. We all have those kinds of things going on in our minds. We easily merged into the stream of work as a necessary drudgery to be undergone for the purpose of making money. That was from Dorothy Sayers. We start working Monday through Friday just to get to the weekend. We all do it, and all have done it. We think the German word Arbeiten, work, as something to get through so we can kick back on the weekend or retire. I'm retiring. I'm going to get to that. Or you think of the sign above Auschwitz that read, Arbeit macht frei. Work makes us free. But what if money is not the primary purpose we work as Christians? It's not. What if our vocations are rooted in a vision of the world that goes way back to the creation story that Carrie read one verse from? Understand that when envy and greed drive our social economy, capitalism, work serves our selfishness and fear. There are problems with capitalistic economies. A great story is told or written by Tolkien during World War II. It's called A Leaf by Nigel. A Leaf by Nigel. He had writer's block. Tolkien had writer's block. He was in the middle of penning The Lord of the Rings. So he stopped and he wrote this story. It's 20 pages. He had lived through World War I. It was now World War II. Anxiety was bubbling up. And what if he couldn't finish the trilogy? I mean, this was his life work. What if he died before the last period of the project? There would have been no third movie. That would have been a tragedy. Niggle is the main character, and that name means he spends too much time on minor details. A leaf by Niggle. A leaf. Perfectionistic personalities lived in Niggle and lived in Tolkien. He details. Niggle had a long journey to make in this story. It's a 20-page story about Niggle journeying towards death. He did not want to make it, but it pressed its reality on him. It was distasteful to him. He kept at the mundane in the midst of death approaching from the future. It's about the work we want to complete before dirt is tossed on our casket. And all of our stories will end without resolution. Everyone's. We won't be able to tie everything up in a nice, pretty bow. Now, Ecclesiastes, which is so encouraging that we heard this morning, it's wonderfully written and depressingly written. It tells us we toil, work, and sweat for others. We are part of a human chain. We leave the achievements of our blood, sweat, and tears to others. I passed the torch to another here. We venture to Cleveland. I gave books away this week. And they had my notes in the margins and underlining and broken bindings. I gave them to others. My books may dance into hell with my work without a care about my hopes. I mean, the honesty of Ecclesiastes, it's a wonderful book. I love it. Niggle and his painting adventure got lost in one leaf. One leaf. And Tolkien related to him. One small church in Ephrata. One leaf. One leaf. He had a landscape in mind when starting. I had landscape in my mind when I graduated from grad school in 86. My pastoral work ends with a leaf. Not the tree I envisioned in my mind's eye. It's a good leaf. It's a beautiful leaf. But the painting's not done. Niggle started working on a single leaf. He could see the landscape. He could see the tree. He could get it in his mind. But as he worked, he got fixated on a single leaf. Ephrata. He could paint leaves better than he could paint trees. We all can do certain things better than other things. But Niggle, his focus on this leaf meant other things needing attention in his painting, they were shelved. And I want you to know, there are things that even in what goes on here, I've shelved. Things that need attention, they got put on the shelf. Someone else will come in and deal with those. He had another problem that I relate to. He dropped his leaf work to help others in need. I am terrible at saying no. I am bad at it. Niggle wasn't completely, he wasn't completely virtuous here. He helped people while swearing under his breath, serving. In the Niggle story, he was interrupted by a neighbor, and the neighbor's name was Parrish. Love God, love neighbor, right? During a rainstorm, Parrish asked Niggle to stop painting his leaf, mount his bike, ride to town, and fetch the doctor for his sick wife. This brought about his demise. Dampness caused sickness. The sick wife recovered, but not Niggle. Dampness caused his death. Nicol was told sickness would he would journey into death, and this depressed him because his tree was not finished. Only a leaf. The life of this church is not finished. We're just a leaf. Someone's going to come in and start painting other things around that leaf. Nicol dies. We move to Cleveland. But his journey continues into the world of unseen existences in this story. He hears two voices discussing his life. The voice of justice thinks he has wasted his life on a little leaf. But the voice of mercy defends Nicol. He sacrificed for others. And as Nicol witnessed this dialogue traveling through heaven, he falls off his bike in astonishment. He's traveling in heaven and he's hearing this argument going on, and all of a sudden he just falls off. And here I quote Tolkien. He says, "Before him stood the tree. His tree. Finished. It is the picture he had imagined on his canvas. He was walking into his own painting. The tree was alive, its leaves opening, its branches growing and bending in the wind that Nicol so often guessed or felt, yet failed to catch." I often ask myself, what have I failed to catch here? I do. I ask myself that. There's things that I know I haven't seen, and I needed to catch and help water. He gazed at the tree, and he slowly lifted his arms, and he opened them wide, and he said, "It's a gift." He was referring to his art and also to the results. You have been a gift to me, to carry. I lift my hands, and I say that with Nicol. Nicol was not remembered on earth, and his work was not remembered. But in the real world of permanent things, God's world, his work was finished and whole and to be enjoyed throughout all eternity. I want you to know we're all Nicol. All of us. We want to accomplish things in the lives of spouses and kids and friends, communities. We want to be remembered and not forgotten. I have a real depressing quote I keep in my phone. I read it every once in a while. It's by Karl Barth. I'm not going to read it to you. I don't want to really depress you. You got that from reading Ecclesiastes. But it's like, there's coming a day. For my dad, it's just about probably 30 years. He won't be remembered. Everyone that knows him will be gone. That ever had contact with him. Yet there is eternity's history. The reality of God means our work will not be swallowed up in nothingness. What you're doing. The world will burn up or flood, but because of God, we and our work will not dissolve into nothingness. We were created to work. We want leisure, but what we need is to work. One of the best things we can teach kids is work first, play later. You'll really enjoy it because you're going to end up playing and not get your work done, and then you're going to be in trouble because you keep on playing thinking, oh, I'm enjoying myself. Retirement is not about not working, but finding ways to give ourselves away for Christ's kingdom without structural demands. And I want you to know that's not American thinking, but it is biblical. Leisure is to energize us to work. Before sin, that we were put on earth to work and keep it. The verse that was read by Carrie at the very beginning, before sin entered the world, we were put in a garden, this beautiful world, and called to work. That divine direction was given in Genesis before sin slithered in. I love Simeon, the new theologian, 1000 AD. He said, "In the beginning, man was created with a nature inclined to work." I mean, Labor Day is approaching. celebrating our created nature inclined to work. Work is part of our human nature. We desire it like food. Doing nothing is not satisfying. We were created to give ourselves beyond ourselves. You know why? You're made in God's image. I'm made in God's image. And God is a God who gives himself away. We are made to give ourselves away through our work. We were not created for thumb twiddling. Animals were never given a command. They were only given instinct. Yet we humans are told to multiply, rule over the animals, produce culture, create social structures that encourage human flourishing. Our story is that we're made in God's image. We are free and directed to care for the world, to keep it. And that means we are called to keep and care. And then Cain kills Abel. His response is, brother's keeper. We were called to keep creation. And right there, he's saying, I don't like what you set me in the garden to do, God. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, yes, you are, Cain. It is the work we are called to participate in from beginning to end of our lives. I want you to look across the room. I do. I want you to start looking. Look around. Who's here? Find them. Trent. Look at your dad. You are to keep your dad. I mean, here's the thing. Our work is to be the keeper of those who walk through the doors of this church. We are to give our lives for them, for one another, to be involved in our lives, each other's life. And we need to receive that and we need to give that. That's the call of the church. Neighbors, friends, and enemies. Jesus told the story of the talents. Everyone in the story is not responsible for the other's talents, but we are responsible for what has been given. A person is given five talents, another two, another one. Each is to use what is at their disposal to serve others in Jesus' name. Is your work sacred? Is what you do day in and day out, sacred? When we Christians talk work, there is to be no sacred secular divide. It's all sacred. What I do is no more important than what Lacey does Monday through Sunday corralling four kids, or Glenn cleaning church communities, buildings in our community. What I do is not more important than baling hay on the Plagerman or Hawes farm. All work is sacred. As we think work, what am I saying? Look in the mirror to see who's in full-time ministry. If you look in the mirror and you say, it's not me, you're wrong. You are, all of you. As a matter of fact, Martin Luther, he had this wonderful expression. You know, we prayed in our guides food for the earth. Who does? God? I mean, don't we provide the food? We plant it? What Martin Luther says, you and I, we are the masks of God. The person who's milking the cow is the mask of God providing the food or the milk for the table for the family down the street. We're all doing that on different levels. Teachers are masks of God in a classroom. Sacred work is not only when serving at the church, the food bank, or His Helping Hands. It is when we janitor or teach or work at the courthouse or the irrigation district. You and I are called to serve God in our professions, trades, and home lives. You know, Acts 6, it's a wonderful passage, and it tells us that some wait tables and some preach. You know, that's why they got the deacons. We shouldn't be waiting tables. We need to be preaching. But it would be, but would it, it would not be right for us to neglect the work of waiting tables to minister God's word also. Because some people aren't driven in that way. We could flip that around. Our glory is that God is included in all work at all levels. But work, let's admit it, it's a grind. That's what the Ecclesiastes passage is telling us. Let's be honest. Nigel struggled with one leaf. Labor that inadvertently caused his death. One of the best things parents can do is to make their kids get a job and grind it out. I believe that. Carrie and I, we've often talked, we loved it. When we dropped Jesse off in a cornfield working on a farm outside of Moses Lake, 8 o'clock, and he would be driven to the where he had to work, and he would spend the whole day adjusting sprinklers in 100-degree weather. That's what he did. He would take a huge thing of water, he would drink the whole thing, and he wouldn't pee once. And he wasn't crazy about the job, but he sure loved the paycheck. The grind, getting to deposit that check, oh, that was great. The check. Ecclesiastes 2:17 says, I hated life because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. There is work that is grievous. All is meaningless, it says, a chasing after the wind. It doesn't take long for us to experience the grievousness of any job, any work. It shouldn't surprise us that work is often less than desirable. The ground has been cursed. I mean, how many people have I talked to that said, do you have as many weeds in your yard as I do this year? They're terrible. Work we must, but the toil is painful. Thistles, thorns, weeds, watering. And don't forget the sweat of our brow. And just to kind of put more coals on our head, when our heads hit the pillow, Ecclesiastes tells us that even at night, my mind does not rest. Work. We were created to work. It's part of the glory of creation injected into our DNA pre-fall, yet because of sin, all apple biting, works, grind, invades. So we need to pray. Prayer and work go together. Psalm 90, it ends asking God back to back, two times, establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. What a great ending to a prayer. If you're like me, no matter what you are doing, at the end of the day, the work is frustratingly incomplete. My mind is thinking today, like when I leave, I'm going to be gone a couple Sundays, but when I leave, I'm already thinking, as I'm walking out the door, for the next time I'm going to be standing right here. It drives Carrie nuts. I can't stop. It's there. I'm working things out in my head. We parents pour our lives into our kids, but it's never done. Ever. Death will leave our kids needing more of us. I mean, and here's the thing. One of my favorite quotes is by Peter Kraft. He says, having children is the most heroic thing we can do because nothing changes your life more than having children. Martyrdom is easy because it's over quick. Children are never over, never. Not even if they die before you. I know there are people here who that just punch you true and so honoring to what it means to be a parent. We place our heads on the pillow knowing there is an ideal tree, a niggle tree somewhere. And we're working on a leaf of that tree, and we have to keep striving day after day. We would do well to work praying out the unfinished aspects of our work. Pray that God would knit the pieces of our unfinished work together beyond our skill, beyond our vision, beyond those things we just can't see need to be attended to. We need to know our place in our story, given the persons that we are. Nigel was an artist. He loved to help people that took him away from the paintbrush, but he loved to create. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands here in this church, in our lives. And it is good to ask who we are at the stage of life we are living. I've had a calling of being a pastor. I'm not retiring from that. I can't. It's who I am. It's built into my DNA. I don't need a church to be a pastor. You don't need a school to be a teacher. That's one of the things I've loved watching my wife leave this classroom, but she just teaches all the time. She's gifted. We don't need to have children in the home to be lover of kids and give ourselves away to them. I graduated from seminary 40 years ago. Of those years, I have been in a church. But I've been a pastor the whole time. I pastored dorm kids, ages 5 through 11. We started with, I can't remember how many, 25 or something. It was ridiculous. It was the worst job ever. But we pastored them. I taught in a school. I pastored. I dealt with people dying. I dealt with the nurses that served the patients. I dealt with the doctors that put them on. I pastored doctors that would look you in the eye and say, God is dead. But I pastored them. I have a vocational calling that I am responsible before God to live out until I die. And so do each of you. So do each of you. Retiring from my paid work does not mean my vocation has ended. My calling, my work. Retirement will put an end to the pay for the work. But who I am and what I must be about as God's called one will never stop until my last breath. Life's rhythm will change, but work won't. Ecclesiastes is spot on. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray.